the first verse of the 10th chapter of St. Matthew's. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor a scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor his servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth the righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. In the 34th verse, Jesus points out that he has not come to bring peace on earth. You know, I think that was one of the great mistakes that the religious people of that day made in expecting peace at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Jesus told them, said, I have not come to bring peace. And it is true that he did not come to bring peace, because from the time that Jesus came at Calvary, there has been nothing but trouble and wars and perplexity. There's been nothing but evil and unrest ever since the very first day that he came. So then he did not come to bring peace. It was not the hour of bringing peace. When Jesus comes again, he's coming to bring peace. All of the earth, the Bible tells us, will be at peace. When he comes in Revelation 19, he'll wage war against the evil powers of Satan. And then after that, he will set up the millennium, and there will be 1,000 years of peace and rest with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the earth will be at peace. Satan will be bound. But at the coming of the Lord the first time, he told them, he said, think not that I have come to bring peace, for I did not come to bring peace. He said, but from here on out, there's going to be a daughter against the mother, and the mother against the daughter, and the people are going to be divided one against another. And that is true. When Christ comes into a person's heart, the first thing they do is run into a warfare. Is that right? Brother Michael Bradley was telling me that in visiting with his people, he said, Brother Pike, I run into a warfare. He said, I had problems with my granddad. He said, I had problems with my mother. I had problems with my dad. In other words, they were all crossed up, because in the heart of Michael is the kingdom of God. And in the hearts of those that he meets, a lot of times there is not the kingdom of God. And so then it causes a warfare. If the daughter gets right with God, then mother is a warfare against her. If the mother gets right with God, then the daughter is a warfare against her. And so then Jesus said, I've come to bring a sword and not peace. I've come to put you to the test. Everyone that receiveth Christ into your heart, Jesus said, you're going through a testing time. And that which is relative to you, your flesh and your blood, that which is relative to you, you're going to have to get away from it. And I'm going to test you and see if you love father and mother more than you love me and the kingdom of God within you. I'm going to put you to the test and see if in the presence of your father or your mother, you back down and compromise to have their fellowship. I'm going to see if you, in the presence of your friends and the world and those out there that has false prestige, I'm going to find out if you're going to back down and recant from the word of God or compromise with the world. I'm going to put you to the test, Jesus said. And everyone that loveth father and mother more than me, he said, I'm going to mark you off of my book, and you can't be part of me. Everyone that loveth money more than me, everyone that loveth the world more than me, everyone that loveth the things of the world more than me, Jesus said, I'm going to blot your name out of the book of life, and you're not going to be part of what I'm doing. Here, this is one thing that I speak of often. People who always running to see their friends and their relatives, running to do something but never hurrying to do something for Christ. Those people are being put to a test, and God is seeing that they love their flesh and blood more than they love Christ. And you say, but I'm serving God. You know, you serve God by doing something. Did it ever occur to you that you serve God by doing something? And whatever you do, that's what you are serving. Paul said, by that which you are overcome and brought in bondage to, ye are servants of that very thing. And so then, if that is your desire, to be with your flesh and blood, to be with your kindred, to be with your mother and daddy, be with your children, then you need to do like God said to Abraham, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, and God will do something for you. Some of you have never got out of the land of your kindred. How do you know that you're kin to that old fleshly beast out there? Somebody say, I love Jesus. Somebody said, don't you call my mother and daddy a beast? Every person that's not predestinated is a beast. Whether your daddy and mother or my daddy and mother, your brother and sister, whoever it is. Amen. And so then, we need to come out from among them and be a new creature in Christ and do something for God. We need to get away from the land of our kindred, separate ourselves, and come out from among them. We need to get away from the world, quit looking for false prestige. I don't need to be soliciting the favor of the banker and soliciting the favor of the people up here in town and soliciting the favor of the people out there in the world. I don't need their favor. I need God's favor. The Bible said Jesus grew in favor with man and God. If I follow Christ, God will give me the favor I need out there. I don't have to solicit their favor. All I have to do is be honest and straight and upright and be interested in the things of God, and God will take care of it. But we've got so many multiplied ministers that are out there today, and they're compromising on every corner to get a dollar. But you watch what I'm telling you, they're going to get so entangled up with that thing until they're going to be in a prison and never be able to get out of it. I've already seen one of the leaders, one of the great leaders that we've got today, out there with the rich, entangled with the bondage of the rich, and he couldn't get out of it. I had another vision the other night, and in this vision he was trying to lift up an eagle as an ensign, but when I looked, it was a buzzard. It wasn't an eagle. So then you might say you're in the eagle message, but you need to find out what you're doing. You need to find out what you're projecting. A lot of times you might be dead and plucked up by the root and nothing but just the buzzards and don't realize it. I'm talking about what God shows. Last night I had a vision and praying. I had a vision and I saw somebody was just as contrary as they could be. They're supposed to be a leader. But because we wouldn't give them money, they was just as contrary as they could be. They wanted money. They wanted new shoes. It showed it very clearly. They wanted everything that was materialistic and just as honorary and contrary as they could be because we wouldn't give it to them. And I kept trying to stay away from them, not to rebuke them. And finally, they just got so bad that before the whole congregation, I turned and told them exactly the condition they were in. And they sold up like a possum. That's just the way the world is. God will tell on you. How many know God will tell on you? The Bible said a little bird will carry the matter and God will tell it thee in the secret chambers. God will tell on you. So then he said, I've come to bring a sword. I've come to bring a testing time to see just what you're made out of. I want to see if you've got any perseverance for Christ. I'm coming as a poor, humble person that doesn't have anything. Going to be born in a manger. I'm not going to have anything spectacular that will show off to the world. But I'm just going to be something born in a manger. And I'm going to humble myself. And I'm going to make sure my friends. And I'm going to see who's on my side. And who's concerned about the kingdom of God. And who's concerned about the spiritual side of life. And then when I find out who's concerned about the spiritual side of life, I'm coming back as a great king, and I'm going to rapture them up into my power and presence, and I'm going to give them eternal life and give them the world and everything in it. So today, Jesus walks among us as somebody that's very poor, somebody that's very needy, somebody that doesn't have anything to offer as far as the glitter of the world. Nevertheless, we who believe God and we who follow Christ and have faith in the Lord Jesus, we perceive that He will supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. We perceive that He will make our cups to run over and that God will bless us in all that we're doing. And He does do it. So then we don't have any lacking. He that walketh upright before God shall lack no good thing. We're not following the world. We don't have to follow the world. Why should I follow the world? All of the world belongs to me. All of heaven and earth belongs to me. The fullness thereof belongs to me. Why should I follow after it? It should follow after me. You understand what I'm saying? If you are a son of God, it belongs to you. You don't have to follow after it. You don't have to be entangled in the bondage of the beggarly elements of this world. You don't have to do that. Why? Because you are the master of the situation. You own the ocean. You own the stars. You own the world. You own the trees. You own the gold and silver and the money and the diamonds. All of it, you own it. It belongs to you. So then I don't have to follow after it and you don't have to follow after it either. What we need to do is to love Jesus. love Jesus, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and rise up and take the kingdom and use it for the glory of God. What we've taken here at Little Bethlehem, Jim, we've taken it for the glory of God. We've been aggressive in the power and strength of Christ, and we've taken this much of it, this little plot of land, to glorify God with it. Somebody said, well, they'll take it away from you. I believe God's able to keep what He wants. If God wants it, God'll keep it. God's able to do it. Hallelujah. God doesn't take anything from anybody or try to keep anything that don't belong to Him. But brother, this belongs to God. We gave it to God. It belongs to God. God's got a right to rise up and keep it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Praise God. What we do belongs to God. Wherever you set your foot, He said, I'll give it to you. And everything He gives me, I'm going to give back to Him. Amen. That's right. Everything God gives me, I want to give back to God. Hallelujah. If I can wage war against the demons of this world and take the kingdoms of this world for God, I want to take them and take them like the 24 elders did and lay them down at His feet and say, here they are, Jesus. Hallelujah. I've waged war against the devil, and by Your strength I prevail. And here are the treasures. I lay them down at Your feet. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God? The kingdoms of this world. They belong to God. Hallelujah. They belong to God. Somebody said they don't belong to God, but they do belong to God. Hallelujah. He said the earth and the fullness thereof is mine. Hallelujah. So then the kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of our God. They belong to God. They don't belong to the world. Those people out there are a bunch of squatters. Running abstract on the land, boot them off. Amen, because it belongs to God. Hallelujah. There ain't no ties on this land. Have you know that? The things of God, there's no ties back there. Amen. Nothing but just what the devil has tried to incorporate through his lies. But the great sealed book, when it was opened in the book of Revelation, showed that there was a clear title deed. Amen. When he opened those seven seals over there and he took a look at them as he turned them over, there was no ties to it. Amen. God just gave it to the Son, and the Son turned it over. And as He opened those seals, there was nothing against it. He just run a quick abstract on it and found out everything was just right. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody loved Jesus and then turned to me and said, Brother Pike, you can have the whole thing. Somebody said, now He didn't do that. Yes, He did do that. He said, all things are Yours. All that my Father has made known to me, I've made known to you. All that God has given me, I've given unto you. You are complete in Him. You are heirs and joint heirs with Him. If Christ is a king, then I'm a king. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The Bible said, I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. If He is the king, then I'm a king. Hallelujah. Whatever Christ is, so am I in Christ. I am complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. I feel good, don't you? All right. So then He said, I never came to bring peace. You misinterpreted my coming, Jesus said. There'll be wars and there'll be rumors of wars and there'll be wars right on up until the end of the age. And there'll be problems, there'll be perplexities, there'll be billowing up and roaring of the seas. There'll be mothers and daddies that will be put to death by the children. There'll be great crises. There'll be famines. There'll be earthquakes. But Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Just sit steady in the boat. Don't let your heart be troubled. For I've got some plans. Hallelujah. I've got some plans. And the devil can't shake them and tear them up. I've got some plans, Jesus said. I'm going away somewhere, He said. But if I go, I will return again. I'll come back to you. Did He say that? I will return, Jesus said. The world won't see me, but you will see me. Why doesn't the world see Him? He said He'd be back. He kept His word. But why doesn't the world see Him? Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. I know when Jesus comes, it says every eye shall see Him. But the Bible said, I will return, and the world will not see me, but you will see me. You say, why is it that the world can't see? The Bible said, having eyes, they see not. Isn't that right? If they are, why is it they cannot hear? Having ears, they hear not. Have you ever spoke to them and know that it was God speaking to them? Have you ever spoke to somebody and knew good and well it was God? Why didn't they hear you? Why didn't they hear you? Now somebody said, well, if it had been Jesus, they would have heard Jesus. If they could just look and seen Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus was there talking with them? How many believe you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? Wasn't you there speaking to them? Why didn't they recognize Jesus? Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, it was me. But the Bible said we're not to know each other after the flesh. See, but we're to know each other after the Spirit. Why didn't they know you as a spirit? He that is born to spirit is spirit. How many have been born to the Spirit? Let me see your hand. That means you believe you're spirit. Is that right? He that is born to spirit is spirit. Hallelujah. That turns the devil slap out of the frame. Did you know that? Yes, sir. A carnal-minded person, they'll sit there and they'll jump the track. As sure as the world, when you go like that, they'll jump the track. They've got it all figured out till you get down to there and off the track they go. I feel good, don't you? Hallelujah. Somebody said, Brother Pike, this is confusing. Only to the devil. Only to the devil. Nothing confusing about this to saints of God. Hallelujah. All right, so then he said, a man's foes shall be those of his own household. If he's going to have problems, he'll have it with his own household. That's the ones that'll be warring against. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, everyone in my family is Christians. Well, let's broaden the household. Are you relative to the flesh? There's a household of faith and there's a household of the world. A man's foes shall be them of his own household. Isn't that right? God said the best way to get rid of that, Abraham, is just leave the whole thing. Just get thee out of the land of thy kindred. In other words, don't be fleshly anymore. Get born again. Get full of the Spirit. Be a spirit instead of flesh and blood. Get out of the world. Come out of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And be translated in your spirit into the kingdom of God. And be transfigured outside by the wonderful renewing of the faith of Christ. Transfigured into the great image of Jesus. Bone of his bone. And flesh of his flesh. So I didn't come to bring peace. But he said, I came to bring a sword. He said, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he said, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I'll tell you what, you money-loving folks, you're in trouble. Did you know that? Somebody said, now I got to pay my rent. I've got to see that my little nest is taken care of, and I've got to pay my bills so everybody will, good morning when I come around. And they'll have that respect I want them to have for me. I'm going to get countrified now. And I'm going to see that there's plenty, some woman said, grub. Her husband wanted to go preach, and she said, I'll tell you right now, you can preach all you want to, but there's going to be some grub on the table when I'm hungry. Grub for a grub worm. God said, I'll help thee, thy worm, Jacob. That's what a worm is. You know what a grub worm is? Somebody that's always grubbing. That's a grub worm. God said, I'll help thee, thy worm. Always seeking something for the belly. Always seeking something for the belly. God put the old serpent on his belly and all of his labors for his belly because his belly craves it of him. Always seeking something for his belly. He'll put off God. He'll put off his fellow man. He'll let a little baby go hungry. He'll let a soul die and go to hell before he'll ever put off a bill or make any alterations of his intellectual plans. Always he'll put off the soul of man or something pertaining to the household of faith. Is that right? Why? Because he is natural minded. The Bible said that all of the Gentiles seek after those things. All of the Gentiles seek after securities. All of them do that. But we are children of God. We're not seeking after securities. I'm seeking God. I want to follow God. I want to do something for God. Somebody say, well, bless Pat, if I don't look after myself, nobody else will. No, it's just the reverse. If you do look at yourself, nobody else will. Why should anybody else? But if you don't look after yourself, God will look after you. If you're looking after God's interest. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then God will add all the other things to you. Somebody says, well, I don't know why I have so much problem. I can tell you if you listen. Because you're going your own way, doing your own thing, thinking your own thoughts, making your own plans. If you'll die, just die, and turn around and go with God, you'll get rid of your problems. Because your problems are you. You're the biggest problem that you'll ever have. And not only are you a big problem to yourself, but you're a big problem to everybody else. But if there's some way that you can kill that old man out, bury him and get rid of him. And quit thinking so much of him. Do like Paul did. Paul said, I count all my learning as dung. Just say, I feel like I'm ignorant. Don't know nothing. Haven't gone the right way, and I'm asking God to have mercy on my soul, and for one time in my life, open my eyes and let me see my wrong, and let me be a servant of God. God, open my eyes and let me see. The prophet stood there, and the enemy was closing in on him. And while he was closing in on him, that prophet stood there. He didn't worry about anything. Why? Because he was looking beyond the veil. But here come that little servant of his. And he was all frustrated, being natural-minded, being carnal-minded, having a feeling for self-security. He said, Master, what are we going to do? You know, now today you could say, just get born again. You know, when you're born again, your eyes come open. Isn't that right? When you're born again, that little babe's eyes come open. See, he could have said, just get born again. But see, the price had not been paid as far as the manifestation for salvation. But he said, what you need to do is get your eyes open. See, some of you at little Bethlehem need to get your eyes open. If you could get your eyes open, you wouldn't see me up here, but you'd see Jesus. If you'd get your eyes open, you'd see God doing something at little Bethlehem instead of all the rubbish you keep looking at. It's like the little story of the thing that happened up here in Atlanta, Georgia. People went out to the garbage can and their eyes fell on the rubbish. But after a few minutes of looking, they found baby snow. Found baby snow. God said, this blood will wash you whiter than the snow. See, they found baby snow among the heap. And a lot of times, if you can get your eyes past all of the garbage and all the rubbish, get your windows cleaned up, then you can see God. You can see God's baby snow somewhere. Did you know that? You see something beautiful, something that you never dreamed was in a garbage can. Somebody said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Something good come out of a garbage can. Baby snow did. You love Jesus? I'll tell you what, when you quit looking at God's people as a garbage can and try to see the virtue that's in God's folks, you'll know that God's got something worthwhile. But you're going to have to do something better than what you're doing. If I keep my mind on the garbage and never take a look at the wonderful things of God, I'll never be right with God. I'll never be able to do nothing for God. But you know, when you're looking for diamonds, you have to dig past a lot of rubbish sometimes. You have to dig down deep and get past a lot of dirt. And a lot of times when you get a hold of it, it's unbecoming because it's never been shaped, it's never been cut, it's never been placed as it ought to be placed to give off its radiance. But there's a brilliance hid in it that only an expert can bring out. Only the eyes of the expert can see. You bring a diamond before me, not if I wasn't a diamond expert, you just might as well throw it out in the garbage. I wouldn't recognize it from anything else. But you take that before an expert, and he'll pick up that rejected stone and he'll chip a little bit here and cut a little bit here, shape a little bit on it and polish a little bit.
And when that thing comes around, you'll say, that wasn't what I threw away. That wasn't what I had in my hands. But so is a pearl in the presence of a swine. Don't cast your pearls before swines. They'll just snoot them away, trample over them, and come right back and bubble in the slop. Is that right? That's the way it is. A dog will turn, Jesus said, and lap his vomit. But we don't have to be like that. We're not dogs. I'm not going to spew and pout and fuss with you over something that you spit out. See which one's going to lap it. Come on. You say, Brother Pike, that isn't right. That's what you do. You spew and pout and fuss and fight. And you... There it comes. And then the other, he rises up and bristles up and heat. And then there it comes. And both of you fighting to see which you're going to lap it up first. I'm just telling you what the book says. The dog will return to his vomit. And the sow, after that she's been washed, she'll go right back to the wallowing in the mire. Right back to the same place. Go right back to the wallowing in the mire, no matter what. Wash her up, put a blue ribbon on her. She can win the prize, but when you turn her loose, you're going to know she's a hog. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. But you know, if a person's got a lamb nature, if they're really born to get on the inside, and they've got that clean, holy virtue of God, I don't care how much slop you take them around. I don't care how sloppy you get them. That hog can bubble and splatter slop everywhere. That little lamb can be covered up just dirty and filthy. But he ain't going to eat that slop. He's going to back away from that slop because he's not a slop eater. He's not a grub worm. You understand what I'm saying? You can have a picnic out here or have a dinner out here or something and all the grub worms come. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Amen. Just spread your big spread out here. Bring plenty of turkey. Bring all the food that you can bring and all the grub worms will come. Do away with all the grub and spread a spiritual table and the sons of God will come. So then, it's been a long story, but we're coming down to the end of it. How do you know that? The sweetest story ever told was about Jesus. Hallelujah. I could just go on and go on this morning, excited over what the Lord's doing and what God's saying. But I wanted to introduce a few thoughts to you this morning and share them with you. And then say just a few little things to you and then close. Have you noticed? Now see, today is New Year's. Today is New Year's. On New Year's, people turn over a new leaf. Don't they do that? They just turn over a new leaf. Is that right? But the same thing is wrote on that side that was wrote on the other. Same thing. So then we don't bother to turn over a new leaf, do we? We want to serve God. We don't observe days and seasons. I appreciate Brother Manley being here with us so much. Very precious person. He and his family. They talk about moving down with us. I wish all of our people would have a good spirit. Love Jesus. Be of a good spirit. God said to Joshua one time, and Caleb said, you got a different spirit. Well, you haven't got the same spirit to them fellas you went over there in Canaan with. But you got a different spirit. What kind of spirit they got? Well, they believe God will do a new thing. He'll whip the giants. Do a new thing, you know. Take them out of the valley of moans and groans. How many believe God will do a new thing? God said, I'll do a new thing. You say, well, when is he going to do it? He just done it. This is New Year's. All right. So then the Bible said his mercies are new every day. God is doing a new thing. And here we are in a new year. So then, being the new year, what does it mean to us? What does it represent to us? The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise, always the same way. The little foolish things. Brother Cantrell Brother Junior and myself, we were discussing some of them yesterday. Here we are in a new year. What does it mean to us? One thing, it means that the prediction that Brother Branham made is over. I say again, no matter how you wrestle with it, grunt and strain with it, it's over. Only a fool would push beyond it because it's over. If Brother Branham was here, he'd tell you that it was over. Now, but the thing is, has God done anything? Has the man of God just spoken wildly, or has God done anything? Have we come to a new place? Have we come to a better day? Is there anything new for us? There must be. Because God said, get new manner every day. There must be something new. It's obvious that the worms have gotten into the other. If they haven't gotten into the other, why is it so split up in splinters? I made the statement here the other day. Brother Lamar Couch came up and he said, Brother Pike, he said the people have gotten together as a majority, the way he expressed it, and decided that they will not follow Billy Paul anymore. Why did they do that? They've been following him. Why is it that Lee Vail, according to Brother statement, why is it that he said that I will not have anybody following me? I do not want to be a leader. When he's been such a leader before, drawn hundreds and perhaps thousands of people in meetings, why? You know why? Because God said he would do it. I made the statement, I said Lee Vail will do it and Billy Paul will do it. I said and the people will do it. And they did it. Somebody said, where did that come from? If it came to pass, it must have been truth. Why would it come to pass if it wasn't truth? It must have been truth. It was truth. It happened. It was the spirit of truth and not the spirit of error. It came to pass. Now, you say, well, there's some things it hasn't. Give it enough time. You haven't given enough time yet. It will. Now, with the going out of that, Brother Lamar said, Brother Pike, I'm leaving Jeff. Said, because they won't play the tapes anymore. Said the man, Brother Collins, said he's just going to play a tape every once in a while. He feels like that the people ought to be preached to. But why should he feel like that the people ought to be preached to from Brother Branham's tabernacle? He's not Brother Branham. Is that right? They said Brother Branham was still the pastor of it. Why then don't they keep playing the tapes? Because Brother Collins has realized they're playing some kind of a game. And that God isn't going to put up with it. That it's reproaching him and reproaching what he stands for and reproaching the tabernacle. And that they can't go on saying that Brother Branham is the pastor of the tabernacle when Brother Branham is dead. When a man says that William Branham is the pastor of that tabernacle, he is a liar. You couldn't do that no more than you could say Benjamin Franklin is the pastor of this tabernacle. It's absurd. It's wrong. Supposing somebody called up the Brother Branham parsonage and said, Sister Branham, tell Brother Branham to come over and visit with me just a little bit. He's the pastor. It would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? What would Sister Branham tell him? Now, they didn't call and say, send us a tape. They said, for the pastor. You understand? So then it's absurd. It's playing a game. It's doing foolish. That's a foolish thing to do. It's reproached Brother Branham's ministry, and I believe if Brother Branham could have raised up out of the grave, he told him, said, y'all doing a foolish thing. That you're tearing down and you've let devils and demons come in to do childish things to reflect my ministry and make me look like a fool in the eyes of the people. Like Jacob said concerning his unwise children one time, he said, you make me to stink in the eyes of the people because of your foolishness. I hope you won't never do that at Bethlehem. So then there is a change, beloved friend. There's a change. Something has made a change. We who are sober-minded, we who understand, we that love God, we that's not trying to fuss, fight and pout and tear down and prove our point, but we who are defending the gospel and standing for God, Somebody said, but I don't like the tone of voice you presented in. Paul said, we're rude in speech. So just bear with me in my rudeness. Listen to what I got to say. He said, we're not rude in knowledge. To be a preacher, you have to be rude in speech. Now, all right. So then this is a new day. A new season. A new time of refreshing. I feel good. A wonderful day. A wonderful hour. I said, well, you're just crowing because it happened your way. Now, that'd be something to crow about, but that's not what I'm crowing about. I'm crowing because Jesus is with me. And he's something to crow about. Now, so then, I'm not crowing over what happened because I believe it was going to happen before it ever happened. I was convinced that it was going to happen before it ever happened. So I was crowing about it before it ever happened. You remember? I am praising God. I'm happy in the Lord. And I feel good over the whole situation. Don't you? Now, if today is New Year's, if today is a special day, not that God regardeth the day, but he regardeth his people, then what kind of day is it? Now let's look at it for just a minute through the foolish things. Here we are after seven tent meetings. I brought it out the other day. Seven meetings have gone by under the new tent. And here we are back at little Bethlehem. Christmas season has come about. Something took place. A Christ child has been born. Can anybody deny that? Now, here we are on New Year's. The old well that we had down at the house that I wanted covered up so bad because of the danger. Yesterday. Why did Bobby pick yesterday to cover that well up? You say, well, you told him. I told him a long time ago I wanted the thing covered up. I don't remember telling Bobby to cover that well up yesterday. But he covered it up. He worked. Not only did he work to cover it up, but a number of other men joined him and covered the well up. Now, it was a deep well, a big well. Had good water in it, too. It wasn't some old poison well, but it had to be covered up. Now, you know why? Because that well wasn't a... Now, I know it was deep, but it wasn't what you call a deep well. It hadn't gone into the rock. It didn't go into the down deep like this one out here did. This well out here that the voice said, call it Mizpah. Where Samuel judged Israel as a seer. It didn't go down that deep. Nothing like that deep. It went down probably 50, 75 feet. I don't know. But this goes down 100, 200 feet way down into the rock. That well there could give out. See, there could come a season that well could give out. Why? Because it was surface water. But underneath there, the water that was way down deep. See, that water table doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't go up and down. When that well gives out here, folks, you've had it. Now, so then, the Lord had that well covered up. Somebody said, oh, Brother Pike, you had the well covered up. Too deep for me to cover up. Bobby done a good job with his heifers, but I'd hate to have to tackle it. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about a bulldozer. Bobby took a wheelbarrow. But nevertheless, the well is covered up. It's covered up. The stone is taken away from the well. The mouth of the well is gone. It is to be planted over in flowers and grass. Just walk right over the top of it. It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone. See, the old has passed away and the new has come. And like I told Brother Taylor, down here, the two service stations that had to do with some spiritual thing, Mr. Stone come down and locked it up, and Brother Taylor was helpless. I said, don't worry. I said, just a little while, the stone will be rolled away. The man came yesterday and rolled the stone away, so to speak, and gave him his goods. Foolish things to confound you smart fellas. I'm one of the ignorant. So then here we are, a new day. A new day. You know, they said, are not these men ignorant men? So they're ignorant folks. Ignorant and unlearned. So then here we are in a new day. A new day. See, the world has been covered up. There has been a change. That which was sealed up in the desert, that which couldn't be anymore, it's broke loose. Somebody say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? I mean it was dead. Oh, and somebody said, wait a minute. If I make a prediction that tomorrow everything's going to be blown to pieces, and you believe that, and you know that, and you accept that, you're dead. You can go buy the caskets if you have one after the blast. You understand? Those people were dead by the prediction that he gave. That was the end of those people. They cut off all hope, all plans, all endeavors. By 77, that's the end. We're gone. So then they were dead. They were sealed with the word of prediction. But the stone has been rolled away. And they can be resurrected. And do something for God. Hallelujah. Jesus rolled the stone away. We can do something for God. There is a new year. A new year. Now I get excited. I can't help it. Look, the man of God's prophecy was right. You say, how could it be right, Brother Pike? Because it gave an uncertain sound to the natural ears, so they couldn't prepare themselves to the battle. Wasn't that the way with the Jew? Do you believe that Moses was right? Have you believe that Moses was right? But it gave an uncertain sound to the natural listener, so that they could not prepare themselves for the coming of Jesus. Look at the denominations of the day and look at the religious people of today. They've got every precept. They've got doctors of divinity that's got every jot and tittle wrote down. Look at Brother Branham's followers. They've reproduced those books till they can quote you every verse. Every quote. But they still miss what the man of God said. What the man of God said is not found in quotes. It's found in the Holy Spirit. The man was a spiritual man. Moses was spiritual. Faithful in all of his house. And they looked for it in a dead letter of the law. But when that master came along, he folded up the law like a garment and laid it away. He said, I am the master. I'm the good shepherd, he said. He just folded it up and laid it away as a garment. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. All that ever came before me, Jesus said, was robbers and thieves. Somebody said, you mean Elijah and Abraham, all of them was a bunch of robbers and thieves? No. They were with Jesus. They were with Jesus. Isn't that right? He was with them. But some of them in that day wasn't with Jesus. They tried to get in between him and Calvary. And tried to get before him and take the kingdom. But not Abraham. The Bible said Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He was glad when he saw it. They walked together. See, this is a new day. The tent meetings ended. 7 tent meetings ended. And here we are over here with the same platform, Reuben the firstborn sitting out here, folded up. Here we are this morning on the... Brother Branham made the statement. He said, I predict that 77 will completely be the consummation and the millennium will be ushered in. I said that has to be the spiritual coming of Christ. It has to be God's spiritual world coming in. It can't be the natural. The Bible doesn't bear it out that it's the natural. But what do we care? We're not natural people anyway. We're spiritual people. I'm not caring about something's going to be blown all to pieces. I've got the kingdom of God. The Bible said the children of God shall rise and take the kingdom. Is that right? Once they take the kingdom, they don't have to worry about the earth. The Bible said the kingdoms of this world have already become the kingdoms of our God. It's a declaration in the Bible. The new earth, the millennium, he said, would come in. Now look at the foolish things. So it'll confound you smart fellas. How is it that we bought these new earth symphony speakers? How is it we did that? And the man broke them down to about $1,000 or something. Why? Why did we do that? Why are they in here this morning? They've never been brought in here before and used like this. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, you're a shrewd operator. You know it was coming and you had it planned out and you told them to get them in there. I didn't tell them nothing. I didn't tell them nothing. They've done this on their own. They brought them in here. They decided the speakers ought to be set up in here at this particular time. You see, I'm not smart as you think. I'm ignorant. That's why he talks to me. You think I'm a shrewd operator, don't you? These are in here. What are they? They're the new earth. Oh, somebody said, you're going berserk, Brother Pike. Now, Paul said, a fool for Christ. But I'm not beside myself except for Christ. I know what I'm saying. God just had to do it in a way so the professor couldn't get a monopoly on it. See, the professor wouldn't mess with what I'm talking about. That's a bunch of foolishness. But see, when you know what I'm talking about, you know that what he's got is a bunch of foolishness. He testifies that mine's foolishness, but God testifies that his is foolishness. So then here are these speakers. Why are they in here today? Because these foolish little insignificant things represent something. The first day of the year, the new earth, like Brother Branham said, the millennium coming in, just like he said it would come in. That 77 would do away with the other. With the going out of Brother Branham's ministry or the closing out of the Eagle Age, it meant that American government was through and finished. And this is the new earth. This is the dove government, a peace, a time of peace. And you watch and see if I'm telling you right. They'll form a world treaty and bring in world peace. But they won't have it because they're not the children of peace. We're the children of peace. But God will make them substantiate what we're saying by their intellectual, governmental activities. They'll bring in a world peace. But when they say peace, sudden destruction, like Brother Branham said, but not sudden destruction of this government. This government is coming in. Last night, about 12 o'clock, we were standing out at the little bank, and eight of us began to pray. We didn't plan it that way, but we began to pray. Brother Richard wanted his little children prayed for, and he asked for prayer. We began to pray. At 12 o'clock, the change, the old year going out, eight, the new year, the new day, the millennium. You follow me? Now, we begin to pray. They've just about got the bank building finished. Brother Arthur and Brother Woody are well on their way to closing those doors out there. See, the doors have already been closed, but hadn't locked them. But see, with the ending of the Gentile age, that means the coming of the Lord. In the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, when the church age is in, what happens? Immediately the church goes up to God. Even Brother Branham taught that in the fourth chapter. See, the church goes away to be with God. I'm glad I went away to be with God, ain't you? Somebody said, when is it going to happen? Just as quick as you get born again. See, the age of government is closing out for America. She's over and finished. As a matter of fact, some of the psychics predicted this year that Jimmy Carter would walk out of office. And they predicted, I believe around June or July or something, they predicted a number of other things that would take place. But see, the government is over and gone. It is no more. It doesn't matter how much they say we've got it, we've got it. It's over, gone, it's finished, it's at its end. This is the new government coming in. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, boy, they're going to get you for conspiracy. They'll have to get God. He's the one that conspired against them. I didn't. I'm just telling what you told me to tell you. He said he was going to shake their earth and shake the stars out on their head. And then when he got through, he's going to rebuild the whole thing to his own satisfaction. Somebody said, kill him, crucify him. They told Pilate, they said, that man said he's going to change all the customs. That's what he said. He really said he was. But in the meantime, we'll just go on obeying the magistrates of the land and doing whatever we can so as not to offend them. Jesus said they're messing with us when we're strangers and pilgrims. But don't offend them so they won't have a charge against you in the day of judgment. So you can shine as a light and condemn the whole world. Noah rose up and condemned the whole world. It's like Talmadge told him here not too long ago. Some of them pounced on Talmadge, and Talmadge got a pretty good answer. Raised up a country boy. But he said something to him about the voting. And he acknowledged that legislation don't come about by fairness, nor eloquence, nor wisdom. And you could say, not concern. But he said it comes about by majority, by votes. And they accept that. But he said the majority is not always right. They said, why do you say that? He said, because they crucified Christ Jesus. The majority did it. The senator of Georgia said the majority killed Jesus, and he wasn't right. I agree with him, don't you? So then we need a legislation that doesn't come about by votes. The devil might multiply his crowd. See, we don't have a chance if we're going to do it by number. Because the Bible said, fear not, little flock. Few there be that find it. So we don't have a chance. What we need is a government like this. Not with Brother Pike at the head of it, or some other man at the head of it, or based on votes. But we need the Word of God set up and men that are loyal and holy, dedicated to this Word. We need this for the Constitution, not that for the Constitution. Their fathers did that. Our fathers did this. We need the Word of God for the Constitution. This proven, infallible Word of God. And when men come together for legislation and for government. You say, Brother Pike, you're talking about government. We want to hear about religion. But the Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulder. God's interested in the government. He said the kingdoms of this world, the governments have become the kingdoms of God. So then, we need God's government. In the beginning was the Word. That's where it all starts. And we need that spiritual government in our heart. Spirit, Word of Spirit, where God can control us. And we need the Word of God for our government. That was the plans of our forefathers when they come over here. Was to establish the Word of God. Why do you think our forefathers came over? Go back and search out history and see if it wasn't that they were inspired by the Word of God, and they were going to establish the Word of God. But instead, they came up with a constitution that finally this one put an amendment, that one put an amendment. I believe in a constitution that don't need any amendments. God's Word! It doesn't need any alteration. The Bible said the man that adds to it, God will add the plagues to him. The man that alters it, God will take his part out of the book of life. We need an unwavering government that don't need to be altered and don't need to be changed. We need God's Word. And when we have a difference among our brethren, a dispute among our brethren, leaders or whatever, we need to go to the Word of God and settle it on the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, I don't care if 15 of them goes different and one stands on the Word, he's the winner. The Word of God said in Noah's day, build an ark. Everybody else said, you're just an old fool and an old fogey. But the one man said the Word said it. So then, I feel like we need the Word of God. Somebody said in your interpretation, Brother Pike, the Word of God don't need no interpretation. The Holy Ghost interprets the Word of God to men that love Jesus Christ. There's men here that love Jesus Christ that understand the Word of God. This book is not a sealed book anymore. This is a revelated book. One time it was a sealed book, and it's still sealed to those that are in spiritual ignorance, but not to the children of God. He that is of the household of light, he sees, he knows when good comes. The wicked shall not see when good cometh. Having eyes they can't see, they're blinded. So then, this is what we need. We have come to a new day, a new government. At 12 o'clock last night, Brother Wayne was standing there with his brand new money. Just come off of our presses. Brand new money. And some of them bought some of it. Brand new. Some of it had never been used before. Bought some of it. Somebody said, boy, you sure are a childish little old fella. A fool, so I can confound you. Had to be that way. So then, there was Wayne. Both of us fools together, I guess is the way you look at it. Wayne believed it just as much as I believed it. He said, I'm standing here ready. Have we got any more fools for Christ? Let me see your hand. That's what little Bethlehem is a bunch of fools for Christ. All right. So, here we are in a new day. This little insignificant thing showing a new day. The church ages closed out with a tent revival. After the tent in the wilderness, it came into a temple. Brother J.T. bore witness that from over where he was at, that when he came over here with the tent, he saw the Ark of the Covenant here. The tent went out. His was a two-pole. He represented Brother Branham, and then the three-pole came in. Isn't that right? The third pole, Brother Branham said. Is that right? Spoke of it having to do with the tent. It came in. Brother J.T. stood up and told the people, after that he had done these things, said God told him to come off of the field. And I had made the statement that he represented Brother Branham. It was a closeout of it. George Jr. just come back from up there yesterday, visiting with him. I think JT's over in the Bahamas. You say, well, God just wanted JT to quit preaching. Well, if that's what it was, he hadn't quit. He sure has dishonored God and disobeyed God. God knew JT wasn't going to quit. God was bringing about something so we'd know what was going on according to what we had predicted and said. Bringing a confirmation. The others could know it. So then, in these few words of exhortation and numbers of things that I'd like to add to it this morning, yet haven't held you a long time, I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. We are here, and all around, I see, allegorically speaking, the things of God, the little meeting that we had out here on Christmas night, Brother Branham rising from the dead as Jesus Christ giving gifts unto men. If you want to follow it through, because it was Christ in Abraham, Christ in Brother Branham, Christ in Brother Pike. It's been Jesus. He's the chief hero. He's the one that's riding the horse. We're just the horse, that's all. You love Jesus? So then, Christ, in you the hope of glory. Here we are in a new day. Things have changed. The prediction is behind us. Now what? Where do we go from here? Somebody said, well, I'll do what Brother Branham said do. How are you going to do it? He said, I say that 77 is the end, as I have said in the book. It reads, said, as I have said, I say it again. Said, I know you don't agree with me, but I still affirm the fact that that will do it. Now, if you believe Brother Branham, then where do you go from here? Somebody said, well, I believe Brother Branham, but there's no buts about it. You either do or don't. Don't be a liar. If you believe him, be like a good captain. Go down with your ship. You love Jesus? You ain't fixing to end it. No, you ain't wanting to do that. I tell you what, you're looking for a new ship. And I don't blame you. That's heroic to go down with your ship. But I'd rather stay with Jesus. Alright, so it simply means one thing. That God has done something, and he said, as Brother Branham said, he said it will pass through the midst of them and they will miss it. He said they won't see it. Said it will pass right through the midst of them. And so it has. We made a statement, said it's passing right through the midst of them and they don't see it. And it happened just exactly that way. Now where's the latter rain that Brother Branham said would come? Now Brother Branham said the latter rain would finish it all, isn't that right? Somebody said, I'm waiting for the latter rain. How can you wait for the latter rain when he said this year was the end of it? Somebody said, well, it was a prediction, but it was a prediction. It was the end of it. How did Brother Branham see latter rain beyond the prediction of the end? He had been all mixed up. Now, let's be sober. He would have been a mixed up, confused fella if he told you the end was coming by 77 and after 77, wait for the latter rain. That wasn't it. He believed the latter rain would come before 77. If it was to come, where is the latter rain? Somebody said, well, if the prediction didn't come, the latter rain didn't come either. Well, when do you predict that it'll come? He said, when it comes, it'll be a teaching rain. And said, it'll take care of everything. You love the Lord? I'm just trying to make you to understand, folks, that we can be foolish. Did you know that? Paul said, I speak unto you as a fool. Said, because you entreat fools gladly. So then, this thing is real. It's not a game I'm playing. Somebody said, honor the poor boy. He's off at the head. You don't have to honor me. Like Gerald said, you don't have to feel sorry for me. The Lord will vindicate or take care of whatever he has said. He's able to do it if you wait and look at it and see. This is not some game that we're playing. Does a man stand up like we have and say the end of Billy Graham, the end of Oral Roberts, the end of A.A. Allen, the end of Armstrong, the end of Brother Branham, and the things come to pass and the lights go out and then you say he's playing a game? He don't do things like that. Only a fool would do that, and he wouldn't be a fool for Christ. But we've been a fool for Christ. And the things that we've said and the things that we predicted put us on the spot every time that we said it. And we've been mocked. But it came to pass. It came to pass. The Bible said, and it came to pass. So then where are we? We are in a new day. What do we do? Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? I'm glad, brethren, that I saw a vision. I'm glad that I saw a revelation. Where is the denomination? Somebody said, well, bless Pat, I'm glad I didn't follow William Branham. I'm glad I stayed in my church. But where's your church? If this is the end of all things that's come up at hand, and Peter said it was, and if the revelation shows that it is, where is your denominations? It shows that every one of the denominations is at an end as of yesterday. And they've been at an end long before then. Having a name, they live, but they're dead. So that's gone long before. But nevertheless, for your sake, that's at an end. You can't go back there. Where are we now? We must be somewhere. It's for sure we're somewhere. If the end of the world has done come, like Peter said, if it's done passed away, and then the church ages has done passed away, and if all the Brother Branham following has passed away, and the denominations have passed away, where in the world are we? We didn't pass away. Did we? We, as they say, was raptured away. So where are we? Couldn't be but one place left. If Brother Branham said it's all blown up in the mind of God, it couldn't be but one thing left. What is that? That's you and me in heaven. So what are we going to do? Make all things new. Are you ready? Let's rise and take the kingdom and make all things new. Let's do it God's way from now. Let's take the kingdoms of the world for God from now on. Not for some denomination. You say, Brother Pike, we've been doing that for years. There's been a bunch of denominations been taking it for the denominations, making a money enterprise out of it, some great evangelistic association out of it. I'm talking about taking the spiritual things of God. Let's get out there and get more interested in God and spiritual things than we are in houses and lands and denominations and powers, and do something for God. It's time that we took the kingdom. The kingdom's inside of the heart. Are you going to take it? I already have. Have you already took it? All right, let's go present our cause to the people and let them know that we got it. They're under our control. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you can't do that. If you don't do that, you're a hypocrite. If you say you got the kingdom and you don't tell the people they need to line up and get right with this government and fall into it, you're a hypocrite. Have you believe this is the government of God? You believe it is? Somebody said, I believe that book is. But the Bible said, eat the book. I ate it. And now the government's in me. The Bible said, I'm an epistle known and read of all men. Can you read me this morning? Somebody said, I can read you like a book. I'm glad. No confusion there. Just take heed to how you hear and what you see. All right, children of God, I love you. We just say that to throw the devil off track. This is a new day, and there truthfully is, from my heart, a lot of things, a little additives here and there that I'd love to add to this morning. But I believe that you are far enough along and spiritual enough that I wouldn't have to take all day, that you perceive that what I've said is true. You can't deny the fact that it's true. Now somebody says, well, I can deny it. I don't see nothing in them speakers. But you can't deny the fact that it happened according to what we said about the prediction. You can't do that. Now I said, well, I can deny it. Well, all right, go ahead. If you want to do it, go ahead. The Bible said a fool's known by the multitude of his words. And if you want to show the world that you're a fool and not for Christ, go ahead. A man fires you off of a job, you might as well leave because you're fired. You might work all week, but you ain't going to get any pay out of it because you're fired. That day is over. This is a new day. The things that Brother Branham said has been well and done a lot of good. And as the prophets of old, it will continue to do good. But as far as a man for leadership, God said, Joshua, tell my people that Moses is dead. Brother Branham is dead. He's dead and he's buried. All right, but the Christ is resurrected. So then the move of Moses moves on. Isn't that right? God in another form. Do you believe God's inside of you this morning? You're the temple. That's God in another form. I say that to ease the pressure. You can't stand it if you thought God was in my form. All right, let's stand together. It's just like Johnny's vision. Brother Johnny said, I saw the people of Brother Branham on the first level, or second level, whatever it was. And said they were trying to win the followers of Little Bethlehem over to their way of life. But said Brother Pike, said, I saw the people of Little Bethlehem on the third level. And said eventually the people of Little Bethlehem won Brother Branham's followers over, and they had to follow us. I'm saying this, and I believe this makes good sense to them that are reasonable, them that listen. The Bible said, come and let us reason together. I'm not mocking you, nor Brother Branham's followers, nor any children of God. But I'm mocking the old carnal mind of resistance and devilish interference, just like Elijah did the prophets of Baal. That's what they are, is prophesying. They're prophets of the flesh, is prophesying out of their own fleshly spirit. They hadn't heard anything from God. But I believe this makes sense. If you'll stop and consider it with me, I believe it makes sense. Brother Branham himself, as well as the great leaders of old, they taught that we should move on with God. Move on. Don't stop in Egypt. Don't stop in the wilderness. Move on with God. Let's get into Canaan. If out of the Lutherans came forth a great move of Methodists or sanctification, if out of the move of justification came forth sanctification, then let's praise God for it. Let's don't resent Martin Luther, but let's don't resent John Wesley. Let's don't say, bless Pat, I'm a John Wesleyan. Somebody said, I'm a Wesleyan Methodist. I ain't no Lutheran. Somebody said, I'm a Lutheran. I ain't no Methodist. Why not move on? A Lutheran yesterday, a Methodist today, a Christian tomorrow. Why not? Let's move on with the Lord. Whatever it takes, let's just keep moving with Jesus. All right, so I'm glad for what Luther done. I believe he was a great man. I really believe that from my heart. I've read about him. I believe he was a great man. Anybody that would endanger his life and stand up and defy the Council of Worms, I think that takes real courage. Don't you? But at the same time, I admire Wesley. I believe he was a great man. He done something for the cause of Christianity. There's no record where either one of them worked miracles like Elijah did. But nevertheless, I know there was miracles in their lives somewhere. They were great men. The signs follow believers. Now, God is more interested in the Word, because in the beginning was the Word. God is the Word. The world is interested in the signs and wonders. Lest you see them, you won't believe, Jesus said. A sinful, adulterous generation seeks after that. And I believe they're in the church. I believe we have them. I've had them in my life. I'm sure you have in your life. Somebody said, well, I can believe it in my life, but it's hard for me to believe it in your life, Brother Pike. But believe it or not, I've had them. As a matter of fact, I'm a miracle myself. God saved a wretch like me. You're looking at one of my miracles. Now, so then, God emphasized the message. Even in Brother Branham's life, God emphasized that message, that word, all down through the Bible. He gave a record of this, the great Word of God. Because it's by faith in that Word that we are translated. That's the thing we're looking at, folks. And I'm thankful if we moved on from Lutheran to Wesley. I'm thankful. See, I want to ask you this question. Could Wesley and his followers backtrack and go back to the Lutheran? Could they that have been enlightened in Wesley's day backtracked and went back to where Luther was? Don't you believe there was more light in Wesley's day than there was in Luther's day as far as men getting their eyes open in the restoration of the church? If there wasn't, then God lied to us, because he said it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. Somebody said there's always been light. I know it, but he said gross darkness would cover the people. And it did at Pentecost. The sun went down. When they crucified Jesus, the sun went down. And the dark age come and gross darkness covered the people. But he said the light will break back through. It'll come to pass. There'll be light in the evening time. How do you know there's been light in the evening time? Light. All of those people that have come and preached the gospel, they brought us some light. Moving from light to light, glory to glory, revelation to revelation. All of them have done some good. The Church of God, the Pentecostal Holiness, all of them have done some good. There's been God in the midst of those people. God moved through the Catholic Church. Had not been for monks preserving the Word of God, devout men, we'd not have it today. Somebody said, well, I don't believe God was ever in the Catholic Church. Well, that means you deny the whole Protestant movement, because it started from Luther and he was a Catholic. See, God went into that dark age, but he come out. God veils himself in darkness. Life leaves the man's loins, goes into the darkness. But someday there's a birth and there's a life. There's a joy and a jubilance. Replenish. You know, that's one thing we need to do, is multiply and replenish the earth as children of God. I know the Bible speaks of doing that naturally in marriage, the bed of the marriage is undefiled and all, but I'm talking about children of God. He said, go multiply, replenish the earth. You're a Christian, go out and win another Christian. Let another Christian win another Christian. And let's multiply and replenish the earth. God's interested in spiritual sons and daughters. That's the multiplication that we want. I know you can strain it out and swallow a camel on things. Somebody asked the other day, said, what about the replenishing in the garden? I'll get back on my subject in just a minute. I said, what about the replenishing in the garden? You know, some great Bible scholar said there was an antediluvian world, you know, that reached even back beyond the garden. And said that was the first people in God said to replenish. But you know that's not right. God plenished the garden, didn't he? When God made Adam and Eve and the trees, he plenished the garden. And he just said, Adam and Eve, you replenish. Is that right? That's what we need to do spiritually, is replenish the garden. Need to replenish. But anyway, getting back to the theme of our thought, we got to move on, folks. Do something for God. Multiply, replenish. We've got to do something for God. We can't go back as Wesleyans. We can't go back to Luther. We can't do that. So you can't do that. If you was one time in the Church of God and you was one time in the Pentecostal Holiness, that's good. There was some God-fearing, great, mighty people there. There was a move of God in there. But that move of God's gone now. You can say what you want to, but it's gone. And the man that brought it is gone. And when the thing turned into a worldly enterprise and a money thing, just like Brother Branham's move, it fell into the hands of grubworms. And they've turned it into parties. They've turned it into picnics. They've turned it into something natural in every way to entertain a bunch of natural people. And they're drawing doctors and dentists and lawyers in the world and everything else and booting out the people of God. It's become the cage of every unclean and hateful devil or bird. But the little flock of God's been driven on out. Driven on out. See, I can't go back to where Brother Branham was 12 years ago. Now, if you can, that's all right with me. That's your business. You say, well, I'm a Branhamite. Well, that's your business. I'm a Christianite. Whatever you are, that's your business. But here's the thing. I can't go back there. I thank God for everything Brother Branham brought. But you say, but Brother Pike, you don't understand. See, Brother Branham brought it for then, and he brought it for here, and he brought it for tomorrow too. So did Paul. So did Abraham. So did Peter. So did John. Don't you agree to that? If you don't, we need to throw this book away. But see, where is Peter, James, and Paul, and John? See, what was Brother Branham doing adding to the book? If Paul brought it for yesterday, today, and all the rest of them, what was Brother Branham meddling with it for? See, God had something to say through William Branham concerning what Paul had said. He's got something to say through us today too, brethren. I can't go back there. I appreciate that. I can make reference back to it just like I can the Bible. But even this Bible, there is a revelation of this Bible that must show forth. Coming out of the words. Jesus said, my words are spirit. They're dimensional. We're moving on. I can't go back there. Now then, if the Wesleyans can't go back to the Lutherans, then what does the Lutherans need, or what do the Lutherans need to do? Move up to the Wesleyans. Is that right? They were Lutherans yesterday, but this is Wesleyans' age. Let's move up to sanctification. All right, now we've gone beyond Wesleyans' age. Then what do we need to do? This is the age of glorification. We need to move up to this day and be glorified in the body. Is that right? Justification in your spirit, sanctification in your soul, glorification for your body today. Let's accept the justification of Luther by faith. Let's accept the sanctification of Wesley. Let's accept the glorification of Jesus Christ. Can you do it? All of that's gone. It's passed away, and here we are in a new day. What can we do? I can't go back to the Brother Branham followers. I can't do that. If you can do it, that's fine. I can't do it. I tried that to a church I came out of. I told you this before. I got to thinking. I said, I'm getting strange. I'm getting different from the people. I said, I had friends. I had joy when I was among those people. And now all I do is keep my mind on something about the Bible. The Lord said, if you go back there, you're finished. And it scared me. I said, no, I can't do that. I can't go back there. And I found out it wasn't strange. This is just a happy, glorious way of living for Jesus. The real, true way of life. I was just in a wilderness and couldn't see it. Young in the Lord. But we've come over, folks, and I can't go back there. They're going to have to come up here where I'm at. Does that make sense? If it don't, somebody ought to have enough backbone to tell me. You ought to have enough love of God or enough backbone to stand and say, wait a minute, preacher. Call my hand, don't you? Say, well, I'll be out of order. Well, I give you permission right now, you're not out of order. If the preacher tells you to do it, it's not out of order. If there's somebody here, I give you permission, you're not out of order. If it don't make sense, if it isn't the right thing, if it doesn't found itself on the Bible, speak up and say, wait a minute, preacher, that's not right. And I promise you, I'll stand here and listen. I said, well, you don't believe anybody's going to do that. I certainly don't. But you could do it whether I believed or not. Some of you delighted the chance to prove me wrong. Why don't you prove me wrong? I said, I didn't think you'd do it. Why don't you just do it anyway, just to prove me wrong? Now, see, children of God, you got more fear than to cross the truth. You know that's the truth. See, can I go back to the Brother Branham followers, or must the Brother Branham followers come up here where we're at? They're going to have to come to where we're at. Even according to the William Branham preaching, they've got to come up here. If Brother Branham preached a message for 12 years ago and you say that his message extends on over into the future in our day, then come up here where his message extends to. If his message extends to it, come away from back there. Come on up with his message. He said, if there's a tomorrow, there'll be a message for tomorrow. Come on up here to what he said to me. We got a tomorrow. All right. I like what Brother James Ellis said. When something was mentioned about April, and the person that mentioned it was honest and sincere, just passing on a word. Brother James said, Brother Branham wasn't no Jew. That's the way you got to do, is come to the defense of the word. Don't try to go around the word. Come to the defense of it. You'll always be in a wilderness. Always be mixed up. Always be double-minded. If you can't believe the truth, what is the truth? You told me that Brother Branham definitely said it would be 77. You said that's the truth. All right. If that's the truth, let's face it. That's what he said. And we're beyond 77. Let's don't twist it and try to change it. Now that it's come this way, let's face the truth and love the truth. Stand for the truth. Let's resurrect from the dead and go out yonder and do something for God, folks. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. The old well is covered up, and now there is a new one. The angel said to my brother in the vision, he said, there's one thing that you people have out at Bethlehem, and that is a good well of water. Now, somebody said, well, he never drank any water out of it. How does he know? Bible said you entertain angels unaware. You can't ever tell he might have got a sip. He must know something about it. Somebody said, you don't believe he went out there and got a drink of that water, Brother Pine. They say he couldn't do that. Some came to visit with Abraham and they ate. Abraham washed their feet, went down to Sodom, spent a night, might have drank some of Lot's water while he's down there. But you can't ever tell. But to you that are spiritual, I'm speaking spiritual. I'm speaking spiritual. Let's sing this little chorus together. God bless you. I love you. And I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. I'm not up here to be a show-off. I'm not up here to try to prove my point. I'm nothing. Never have been anything, I never will be anything. The flesh profiteth nothing, so I'm nothing. But the inner me, the Son of God, that man from heaven, he's my hope of glory. And I'm holding on to it. Are you? Something that's happened far more than you'll ever understand. And I always say allegoric, typical. Paul said, types and shadows. I do that for your infirmity of your flesh, Paul said. But it's far beyond that. Let's just sing together, can we? Let's sing this little chorus. We'll give the glory to Jesus. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful for love. Sing it with me, can you? Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Sing it one more time. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Now I want you to remember the service tonight. Come back and be with us. If we are in a new day and God is doing a new thing and there is a new message, then let's listen to it, people, and let's be part of it. And let's go out and do something for God. Think of the condition that you and I and many hundreds of thousands of people around the world, think of the condition we would have been in if Brother Branham's prediction had been true in the sense that they had the concept that naturally they'd have blown this place up before or by yesterday. Think what kind of condition we would have been in. Through lethargy, unconcerned, not going on with God. Ain't you glad God spared another day? God said, son, if you'll pray, I'll spare the people. I'll spare another day. I prayed and He spared another day. And He kept His word. It had to be the Spirit of truth because it came to pass. Did you pray and ask God to spare another day? How many of you did that? I believe some of you did. I see a few hands. How many of you are really truthfully glad that God gave us another day? Think what kind of condition you'd have been in if it had happened yesterday. Just think. I'm glad, Brother Cantrell, He gave me another day. I'm so glad. So let's don't be caught off guard next time. You say, well, Brother Pike, you need to make us a prediction now when the end's coming. All right. I make you a prediction. The end will be here whenever He decides to bring it. And you watch for it, it'll come to pass just exactly like I said. Let's sing that little chorus again. And we'll give all the glory to God.